Good evening, everyone. It's great to be here. So excited to be with you tonight for my first time speaking the word for Super 17. It's going to be a good one, guys. Super 2017. And I'm just really excited and privileged just to be here and to share with you again. And I never want to take for granted what a privilege it is to get up and speak and share the gospel and the good news about Jesus. There's nothing better to open your mouth and speak the good news about God. How amazing. There's so much good news to unpack that God has for us. And I just really want to encourage you this year to lean in and to really prepare yourselves for what God has in store. And not to wait for Friday night and not to wait for small group or wait to be with certain people or talk to your leader, even do all those things, but don't underestimate what God is going to be speaking to you personally this year in your own room, by yourself, when you're walking along, when you're talking with friends, that He is here, He's amongst us. And if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He lives in you and He's always wanting to speak to you. And just to open your, I just encourage you to make a choice this year to open up and receive what He has for you and to just be ready to learn and to grow and respond to what He's doing and to have that kind of active stance rather than just sitting back, oh, wait and see what happens around me. Just jump in and ask God to show you and to speak to you yourself, and you might be surprised what He will do in you, because you're never too young and you don't need to wait till you're like, you're 12 or coming into leadership to really make a huge impact for God's kingdom. Like His Spirit is powerful in you at whatever age, and it's really just up to us whether we believe that or not as to how, what happens. So that's pretty exciting. So don't hold back. Get into it. So we're doing a series called Wired for next week's the last one of the week of three, and as Shane mentioned, we talked about how we are wired and made for relationship. And this week, the topic's called Wired Weird. So getting a bit more looking at ourselves, who are we, and how do we understand ourselves? We'll put up the first slide. Who's into, like, research? Who likes researching when they're going to buy something? Maybe you haven't bought a phone yet, but maybe there's something out there that you're like, oh, you're looking into the different products before you know, buy something, you're saving up your money. Who likes research? A few people. I have to admit, I'm not really a big researcher. Depends what it is. But these sorts of things, if you get into it, you can, you know, compare the different brands, the different types, and they'll tell you how much storage is in the phone, how thick it is, how big the screen size is, and you can use this information to judge the different products really based on comparing them to one another to decide what's the best one and how much it's worth to you and what you're willing to spend and, you know, invest in. Now, this sort of thing can be great for products and stuff that we are using in life, but a bit of a problem creeps in when we kind of use this mentality or framework in order to understand ourselves or other people. Has anyone ever felt sort of judged or compared to someone else by other people? Yes, I see that hand. Or maybe it's not so much what you've heard someone else say about you or to you, but how you feel about, who's ever looked at someone else and compared yourself to someone else and you've either been like, yes, I'm awesome, or, oh, they're better than me. Anyone? Come on. Anyone ever looked at someone else and thought, they're better, or I'm jealous, I want to be more like them, whatever. And our culture doesn't really, you know, help us in this regard, because there's stuff everywhere. Like, I was looking online, I was going to show something, but nothing that was really edifying or was honoring to the people involved, so I didn't. But like, who wore it best? Has anyone seen those things? It's like two women wearing the same, like two celebrity women wearing the same dress, maybe at different occasions within that fortnight, and they're like, put them side by side and compare them, even putting like numbers out of 10 for the people and going, who wore it best? Who looked better? And you could be forgiven for thinking in our culture that your worth and your value is dependent on how good you look or how smart you are or, you know, how well you wear your clothes. And I think if we, you know, if we have a conversation, I don't think many people would honestly think that that's really what makes someone valuable. But yet, when you see that kind of stuff around you all the time, it's pretty tempting to start to believe it. And, you know, it's to escape from that mentality, it can be quite challenging. And if we're looking to other people, you know, to understand ourselves and our own worth and comparing with other people, we might find ourselves in a bit of a dark, challenging place. For me, I had a relationship, like a friendship kind of relationship with a girl, and I felt very misunderstood by this person. Like, I felt like I would try so hard to be kind or thoughtful or considerate and doing all these things to try and prove my love or my support for her. But it felt like every time I did something, it would get misinterpreted and somehow she would see that as me trying to make myself better than her or take over. Or it was, has anyone ever experienced anything like that where you're trying to show someone love or care, you know, get in on their good side, but everything keeps getting misunderstood? Anyone ever felt that way? Or maybe you haven't been trying to get someone to like you, but it just, you feel misunderstood by people, or that other people don't value your personality or what you bring to a friendship, and they don't think that it's worthwhile, and they don't want to spend time with you, and it's really hurtful when that happens. And with this particular relationship, like, I was trying so hard and I just felt so frustrated and I just wanted to go. I kept trying to explain myself to her and go, no, that's not what I meant. This is, and unpacking it and dissecting it. And we'd get into these arguments about what she thought was happening, what I thought, and it was getting more and more messy. And I eventually had to come to the point where I would like stop trying to prove myself. And I realized what was happening is that I thought I could sort of, I got a sense of what she was, who she thought I was through her eyes, and it was awful, and I didn't like the picture that she had in her head about who I was. And it felt so powerful, her influence and her judgment on me, that I needed to change how she felt about me in order to feel okay about myself. Does that make sense? And I realized that, as frustrating and hard as it was, how she saw me wasn't actually the truth about who I was. And even if she had a really warped, twisted view of who I was, that didn't actually change the truth of who I was. And that the truth of who I was wasn't found in her opinion about me or in anyone's opinion about whether it was good or bad, how they saw me. My worth and my value and my identity had to come from something bigger so that I could be okay when those other things happened. And I was able to come to a place where I realized, no, God understands me. He sees me. He knows my heart. And I'm going to be okay with that and okay with being misunderstood, because it's what He says that counts. And I think in order for us to kind of come to peace with ourselves, we need to come to that place where we decide, we make a choice, whose voice counts in my life? Whose opinion am I listening to? And am I basing my identity upon? And it's a bit like that image we saw there with the phones comparing it. You could line up all the different influences that you have in your life, like your family or your friends or your enemies or people online that you don't know, maybe that you've connected with through Facebook or whatever. You could take all, or maybe it's like magazines or TV and the information that you get from there. Line up all those sources and compare them. And decide, what do I want to listen to and what do I want to base my life upon? Whose voice? And if we don't make a conscious choice over who we're going to listen to in our life, that choice will be made for us and will just kind of come upon us by all the voices that are around us. And I just encourage you at this, the age that you're at, while you're young, to go, I'm going to listen to what the Creator has spoken about me and over me. Because if we're wired, whether we're wired weird or whether we feel like we're normal or whatever it is, that we are made by someone, and to understand ourselves better and to feel at peace with who we are, we need to get reconnected with Him and to hear what He says about us. So let's look at that verse in Genesis. So we need to go back to what the Creator says. This is what God spoke over mankind when He made us. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. These were the first words spoken over humanity when God created us. Good, very good. And made in the image of God. And this is back, you know, as the world was created. And we, through what Jesus has done when He came to earth and died in our place to bring us back into relationship with God, we get restored back to that original design, back to very good again. That's the truth of who we are. If you go on to the next verse, this is in portions from Ephesians 1 from the Message. So long before He created the world, long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long ago, before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working in everything and everyone. It's pretty massive to think before He created the world, before He made us, before we'd done anything wrong, before we'd done anything right, He chose us. He wanted us, and He took pleasure in planning our redemption and planning to bring us back into His family and the anticipation He had about you coming into His family. It says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. The joy set before Him was us, having us back in His family. These are like huge truths, huge realities that, you know, we try and grasp. And I just want to stop for a second and maybe pray, pause and pray, because I know that this sort of thing, we can't actually take in logically and just comprehend it with our minds. We really need a revelation in our heart, in our spirit, that God made us, that He loves us, and that He desires us to come into His family. This will change your life. If you can move from just hearing it and maybe mentally agreeing with it to believing it and living it out, it will change everything. And it's not anything we can do. It's what He does in us. So let's pause and pray. And if you really, tonight, if you're really wanting to kind of grasp this to a new level, I just encourage you as an act of surrender and openness, maybe to put out your hands in front of you and, just ask God to speak to you. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that You are the Creator, and that You declared us as good. And I just come against the lies that have been spoken over these young people, the lies that maybe they've believed. Maybe they've even come from their own family, that they're not good enough or they're annoying or they're a pain or they're whatever. It's what you say that counts, Father. Your words are the truth. And I break the power of those lies tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask for everyone here that is seeking to understand this, that you would speak to them and give them a revelation, an increasing understanding about what it means to be children of God, that they would embrace their identity and walk in your promised land as you've destined them to. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a look at 1 John 3:1. So it's in Scripture, in the Word of God, that we hear what God is speaking about us. And it's so important that we are reading this, that we are taking this in, because we are being bombarded all the time with stuff that's contrary to what God is speaking. And so keep feeding yourselves on the truth. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. Children of God. That's our true identity. Do you allow others' opinion to determine your value? Or even, see, even our opinion that we have of ourselves, we need to submit that. We need to lay that down and trade it in for what God is speaking. Because you might be feeling like, oh, I'm no one special. I'm, you know, and feel like you're kind of a humble person. But that's, we need to agree with what God is saying about us, not just what we think about ourselves. Even that needs to be laid down. What the lies that others have spoken, but even the stuff we've embraced about ourselves that's not the same as what God says, to just lay it down and say, God, I'm sorry that I've put my opinion above your words. If you've done that tonight, then you can just say, God, I'm sorry, I haven't believed you about me. I haven't believed what you've spoken about me. I haven't believed that it's true for me. Maybe you felt like it's true for everyone else around you. Yes, God loves everyone, but he's just sort of obligated to love me. I'm just sort of part of the package of humanity. He doesn't really want me particularly. That's a lie. He could have made anyone he wanted in your place, but he chose you to be here. He wants you, and that's the truth. Romans 8:31. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? You see, as we come to realize and to take in and believe the truth that God has made us his children through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus, as we believe that, we come to realize the goodness of God is so huge and amazing. He's a good, good father that, you know, he wants to lavish his goodness on us. Do you expect the goodness of God in your life? Because in Psalm 23 it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He hasn't held back anything from you. He's given you everything he has by laying down his son Jesus. He's proven himself totally. He's given everything. And so there's all the other little stuff. He wants to give you that too. He wants to bless you. He wants to fulfill your dreams, all that stuff. But it says in the Word of God, seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added. He's looking for us to respond to his love and to engage in relationship with him as his children. Do you see God as a father who lavishes you with his love? If you don't, then prepare yourself for a great awakening of understanding the love of God for you. And there's so much more to discover, because this is who he is. And he's made you, he's made us his children. This is who we are. This is the truth about us. But will you believe it? Will you receive it? Will you live it?